I had mentioned earlier, we are continuing in our sermon series, Escape, just the different things that we escape from in life. Last week, I preached on addiction, and this week, I'm going to preach on hope, right? This hope that we have that is founded in Christ. One of the ways that I like to escape is by reading books. Do we have any other readers out there? Yeah, it's a nice way to escape. I have read 7 books since the middle of June. That's a lot of books for me. I'm developing this love of reading. I have been in school, as many of you know, for the past 5 years, and it's nice to finally be able to read what I want to read, right? I'm not having to read different textbooks. And a friend of mine, I was sharing with her this love of reading, and she said, oh, are you reading novels and mysteries and all of this kind of thing? And I said, no. I said, I'm in this season where I am soaking up every ounce of God that I can get and how he is speaking to me through different books. You know, he speaks to us through the Bible. He speaks to us through everyday occurrences, but I believe that he speaks to us also through books. And so I've got this opportunity to read through some books that have actually been on my shelf for a minute, right? I just haven't had a chance to get to them. And so a lot of these are in my library, so to speak. And I will just tell you, I have a book problem. I have a library here in my office, and I have a library at home in my home office as well. But I'm going to share coming probably in the next week or so, just kind of a little bit of a snapshot of these 7 books that I've read this summer of my summer reading list to share with you, if it's anything that you guys might be interested in, and just some of the things that I have gleaned from those. So one of the books that I read is this book by Christine Kane, and it's entitled Unexpected. And last fall, I had the great privilege to hear her in person. I was at a conference, and she was speaking, and she is just a dynamo. She is an Aussie, and she is from Australia. She is currently living in Southern California with her husband and 2 girls. And they founded an organization called A21 that rescues those affected by human trafficking. And they have organizations that are all over, and locations all over the world that are protecting those. Uh-oh. The anchor fell. I still have hope. I still have hope. So anyway, but they have locations, like I said, all around the globe to help those that are affected by human trafficking. And I would describe Christine Kane as a fierce Jesus follower, an evangelist, a lifesaver of those who are at risk, a public speaker, and an author, just to name a few. So I was really excited to read one of her books. And so I'm going to be referring to some of the content that she had in this book throughout my message this morning. But as I start, I want to share a passage with you. I just love this passage. It's from Romans, and it comes from the 15th chapter, the 13th verse. Hear these words. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just let those words wash over your soul. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In her book, Unexpected, Christine, she highlights different stories of people that she has encountered, stories of hope. And she shared this story of a woman named Lorianne. And Lorianne wanted nothing more than to be a mother. Nothing more than to be a mother. But for whatever reason, she was never able to carry a pregnancy full term. And she shared an experience after one of her miscarriages and a medical procedure. And she describes it as she was still groggy as she's coming out of this procedure. And the nurse told her that she could get dressed when she was ready. And some of us are familiar with that, right? We've had different procedures or surgeries. You can go ahead and get dressed when you're ready. And she said that she thought to herself, then what? Then what? Go home and pretend that nothing happened and act like everything is normal. Nothing is normal, she says, and will never be normal again. She says, all I wanted was a baby, my baby. All she could think about as she got dressed was that she will never be a mother, that she would never be able to celebrate Mother's Day. And we do this negative self-talk, right? And she's talking to herself, and she says, I'm flawed, I'm unrepairable, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. And then people always have good intentions, right? And some of those people are us sometimes. We have the best intentions, but sometimes what we say is not always the most helpful. People say things like, oh, you can try again. And it's not like you're losing an actual child. Which her response is, yes, it is. It's exactly like losing a child. And she left that day feeling like all her hopes and dreams had died. And the grief and the sadness were overwhelming. And Lorianne felt like she had done all the right things in her Christian walk. She'd done all the right things. She had done all the right things. She had said all the right things. She had participated in all the right things. Yet she felt so distant from God. So distant from God. And this is when she knew she had a choice. That she could lean into God or she could walk away. And Lorianne, she chose to draw near to God. And as she drew near to God, he drew even closer to her. She said she knew her God was a God of hope and destiny. And she knew that she needed to press into him and to trust him. Years later, fast forward in Lorianne's life, she said that she remarried and she became a mother, a stepmother of three children. And then she was also invited to be on the board of the largest child abuse prevention programs in the United States. And then she also leads with Christine Kane and her husband for their organization for human trafficking. She says that her work benefits children who don't have a mother to look after them, saying, isn't that what a mother does? Lorianne said she had to learn a different way to become a mother and how God fills our hearts in unexpected ways. One of the quotes that she shared from the book that I absolutely love, we've got it up here on the screen. There are divine appointments beyond all of our disappointments. So whatever it is that you've got going on in this moment, in this season of life that you're in, there are divine appointments beyond all of our disappointments. Just sometimes we can't see it in the moment that we are in. I love this passage from Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, in assurance about what we do not see. I have been wrestling lately with this idea of what it means and looks like to have Jesus in our life. What that really looks like to have Jesus in our life. You see, we identify as Christian, right? And that's a noun. It's a person, a place, a thing. We're a Christian, I think that all of us would say that in this room, we're a Christian. But Jesus calls us to more than just this identity, to say who we are, but also what we do. What does that look like in our lives? He gives us this commission to follow him. And that word follow, it's a verb, it's an action. And it takes action on our part. So we're just not a name in title to be a Christian, but what does that look like in our lives to really follow Jesus? I believe that there is a difference with that. In the Christian faith, we believe that you must be born again, born of the Spirit. We've talked about that before. I want to share with you a little bit out of John 3:1-8. Hear these words. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no one else can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is the spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone born of the spirit. You see, we experience birth pains. We experience birth pains in our spiritual life. The old has gone and the new has come. And when we invite Jesus into our lives and accept his commission that he gives to follow him, it doesn't mean that our challenges and our trials and sometimes our hardships don't go away. Rather, we have a God who loves us and walks beside us as we follow him, right? We're in sync with one another. Some of us here are mothers, and we've had the privilege of giving birth. And we know that before we go and have this first child, we go through Lamaze class, right, or birthing class. And some of you may remember this. Dads go along with it. And so you go along for that experience as well. And the goal of that is for the mother to stay focused and to be able to breathe, right, to breathe through those pains as they come. You see, just as we go through spiritual birth pains, we need to stay focused and we need to breathe. We need to breathe. God hears our groaning. Somebody may need to hear that this morning. God hears your groaning. He hears your groaning. In the midst of our groaning, we are to remain hopeful. Remain hopeful. Again, Romans 15, 13. We have it up here again. Hear these words, but with a little bit of inflection. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, hope, it's this confident expectation. I want you to think about your life for a minute. What are you dealing with? What are you dealing with in this moment? What do you want to escape from? Honestly, I would think there are times in our lives that there are things that we want to escape from. And when we have hope, we have peace and joy, right? We have peace and joy when we have hope. But the first thing that we lose when we lose hope, right? If we lose hope, is our sense of peace and joy. That's the first thing to go. Hope is unshakable confidence in God. It doesn't deny the reality of our pain, but it gives us life beyond the pain. Permission to believe in new beginnings and a new reality. Psalm 39:7 says, "But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you." The title of my message this morning is called A Prisoner of Hope. Prisoner of Hope. And it sounds kind of strange, doesn't it, to be a prisoner of hope? It's counter to what we think. And we think of being a prisoner, we think of all kind of imagery that comes to mind. We think of maybe a jail cell, bars on the doors. We think of high security, right? Being a prisoner of hope in God, it's different. It's totally different. Instead of finding ourselves in a prison, we find ourselves in a castle. And I couldn't help but think of the song that we sang, Cornerstone, right? Cornerstone. That we find ourselves in this castle where God invites us into a fortress of a safe place, a place where we chain ourselves to the promises of God, to the promises of God. And we're tempted to want to escape whatever is going on in our lives, but God offers this spiritual fortress that helps us from despair and moves us to a new future. There is no need that God can't meet. There's no mountain that he can't move. No heart he can't mend. No door he can't open. When we are prisoners of hope, we don't get upset that things take a little bit longer than they should. Or think that they should be. And our perspective changes when we're prisoners of hope. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, we focus on what we do have. And always believe the best and not the worst. And we keep moving forward. We keep moving forward. I was with somebody last weekend. There was a group of us that were out and about. And he has an arrow tattoo right here on his forearm. And tattoos fascinate me. I have no desire to get a tattoo, right? But they fascinate me because there's a reason why people have tattoos. And I know many of you have tattoos. But it's an arrow. And I said, talk to me about that. And he said that he and his daughter went to get tattoos. He wasn't sure quite what to get. So he decided to do an arrow because it symbolizes up, right? It's this vertical relationship that we have with God, but also moving forward. Moving forward. That's what hope does. Hope is vertical, but it's also moving forward. So you have a choice. You've got a choice. To be a prisoner of fear, a prisoner of despair, maybe a prisoner of the unknown, or you can be a prisoner of hope, a prisoner of hope. Hear these words from Hebrews 6, 13 through 20. It's the NIV version. The certainty of God's promise. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no longer one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take a hold of hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now keep in mind in this passage that he's speaking to the Jews, speaking to their history, to their religious language, so that they would understand. And we remember back in the Old Testament that in the tabernacle, it housed the presence of God and the Ark of the Covenant, and it was placed behind the curtain, and only the great high priest could enter the most holy of holies one time a year during Yom Kippur, is what we call it now, to atone for sins. You see, that hope, the hope used to lie behind the curtain before Jesus. And we remember how Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus forgives our sins, and he died, and he rose and offers us life abundant, not only just eternal life, but life abundant here and now. And he is our high priest. He's our high priest and our way to the Father. This imagery, there's so much imagery in this passage. And we know that in early ancient days that fishing was a livelihood. I mean, so many men were fishermen. And again, it was fishermen for their families, but also it's how they made a living. So they spent a lot of time on boats in the water fishing. And as we know, an anchor is a device, which is down here. You heard it fall, so there's an anchor up here, right? But there is an anchor is a device that anchors a vessel to a body, to the bed of a body of water, to prevent the craft from drifting due to wind and current, right? It keeps that vessel, that boat, anchored. And we know that's how it is in life sometimes. We face winds and a current in our lives, and we have this tendency to want to drift away from God. But we have this hope. We have this hope that anchors our souls, an anchor so strong and heavy that it can steady any situation. It offers protection in the storms, and it's a symbol, this anchor, it's a symbol of security and stability and being grounded, I want to share again this passage with you. It's, again, Hebrews 6, 18. Picking up in part B of that verse, I'm going to read through 20, and this is the Passion Translation. This is something that is new on my radar screen. It's a new translation of the Bible, and it's a little more Holy Spirit driven, and I absolutely love this version. So I want to share, again, this text with you, but from the Passion Translation. And I want to encourage you, and I've said this before, but read different translations. God's going to speak to you through different translations. There's so many out there. We are so blessed with different versions. So hear these words. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort, for he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. We have this certain hope that hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Oh my gosh. We have a certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. And our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat, which sits in the heavenly realm beyond the secret threshold, and where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone before us. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God himself. Friends, never lose hope. Never lose hope. I want to invite the team to come forward as we pray. Won't you join me? Father, we come before you and we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for this thing called translations, these interpretations, God, of your word, to help us to better understand what it is that you are speaking to each and every one of us. God, there's some of us in this space that are in a season of maybe uncertainty, maybe of conflict. Maybe in a season where there's some dynamics happening in their family life. Maybe some changes in job. Maybe some health concerns. God, we press into you in this moment. We press into you. And we hold tight to this anchor. This anchor that we just don't throw out in the middle of the water to nowhere, but an anchor that is planted firmly in you. That this anchor is planted in God, and it's where our hope comes from. So God, I ask that you would just cover us right now, each and every one of us, to fill us. With a hope that overflows, that gives us a peace that passes all understanding, in an unspeakable joy, whatever it is that we're facing. Because we know with God, all things are possible. So we thank you for this anchor, this image of an anchor, of hope that anchors our souls. We thank you for this time this morning as we've come to be in your very presence. And the beautiful thing about inviting you into our presence is that you go with us, that you go with us today as the anchor of hope in our lives. We praise you and we love you and we thank you for this time. And we come before you now to pray the prayer that you taught your disciples. Won't you join me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.